Blog Talk Radio.
And here we go.
All right, welcome back to That Nerd Show. Yes, we are back. It's Wednesday, and we've got some exciting things to talk about in the nerd universe. I'm one of your hosts, Marcus Blake, and with me, as always, is Brendan Smith.
What's up, nerds?
And a little bit later, we're going to have Chloe James back with us talking about movies turned into TV shows and vice versa, and doing a little bit of a review on the 12 Monkeys TV show that premiered on the Sci-Fi Channel about 3 weeks ago. Figured it'd be fun to have her back since she's the one covering it on her blog. But before we get to that, we do have lots of things to kind of talk about, little, you know, news items and stuff. So we're just going to start. And I apologize to the audience out there for clearing my throat. In case you are wondering, yes, it is now confirmed. The debate is over. Stormtroopers are not clones. I thought that was kind of an interesting little headline today in the news. 316 days until Star Wars. By the way, Lucasfilm quietly confirmed Stormtroopers aren't clones. And I didn't think there was much of a debate on that, actually, but apparently it's still raging on among Star Wars fans.
I don't know why it's raging. Look, even if you apply any type of logic to the Star Wars universe, which I know is a tricky scenario, but Jango Fett, the original progenitor of the DNA, is dead. So the clones are eventually going to degenerate, because the more and more generations you get out away from the original progenitor of the DNA, it's going
right.
to deteriorate. Now, so that would make sense. Now, the other thing is, he's the Emperor now, and army and clone armies are expensive. Why pay
yeah.
all that money to the Kaminoans when you can just conscript everybody? Hello,
it's
Roman legions.
Yeah, it's pretty much been done by any big, you know, empire.
Yeah.
Yeah. no pun intended here in Star Wars. Well, the article
came out.
What
better way to show your that you're a proud and loyal member of the Empire, but to volunteer to serve in their forces? Would you like to know more?
Yeah, especially when you get when you have to get stationed on the ass end of space and have to deal with
right.
the small town feel. Where all suspects are guilty, otherwise they wouldn't be guilty or suspect.
No. Yes.
So anyway, how this got confirmed is with some of the new books coming out, Star Wars: A New Dawn, which focuses on Kanan and Hera from Star Wars Rebels and how they first met. But it was in Chapter 22 where they basically said that stormtroopers walk into a cantina. One of them had a female voice, and thus they got dropped this week. A little bit of a bombshell that, yes, stormtroopers aren't clones, and you can have female stormtroopers. So, now remember, this is a few years before A New Hope, so here you go. Debate solved. All right, and some other exciting news. In case we didn't report it last week, for all of you Doctor Who fans out there, whose favorite Doctor is David Tennant, he will be in the Marvel Universe. He will be playing the Purple Man in the AKA Jessica Jones series on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So let's face it, pretty much anything David Tennant does, kind of like John Barrowman and Captain Jack, they're just going to be good. I don't think there's
mm-hmm.
anything bad that they can do. So definitely like this casting. And we got to see the first trailer for Daredevil this week. And I don't know about you, Brendan.
Really good.
Yeah, very, very excited. It looks absolutely
amazing. I will be Netflixing
amazing.
That for 10 straight hours on April 10th.
Yeah, don't be talking to us. That's what we're going to be doing. Customers, don't call me.
Well, April 10th is a Friday, so I guess I'll be staying up all night when I get off of work. I will go straight to come home, put Netflix up on the PS4, and then don't talk to me till about 5 in the morning.
You know, and there's worse things to do all night. So I don't disagree with this at all. And let me pull this little news item out. Okay, so Game of Thrones fans, this is actually kind of a cool little news item. We should report this. So the Mountain from Game of Thrones, remember the Mountain? Yeah.
I know where you're going with this.
Right. His name is Hathor Bjorsson, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing the last name. He definitely is Scandinavian. He did actually prove himself this week to be a modern-day Viking and basically smashed a 1,000-year-old weightlifting record. And here's the story. Hathor won the title of world's strongest Viking by taking 5 steps while carrying a 650-kilogram log. Or, for those of you that...
It's 1,400 pounds.
Right. They're off on your math. For the Americans out there, because we don't do the metric system. Yeah, 1,433 pounds.
Yeah, it's just times it by 2.2. You'll be fine.
Right, there you go. You have to imagine 1,400 pounds. I don't know of anybody that can do that, okay?
Basically,
I don't even know of Lou for...
Basically, he picked up one of those smart cars and took a stroll.
That's a great analogy. Not that we don't like you, Lou Ferrigno, who played the original Hulk in the TV series. Yeah, this guy makes you look like a pussy. I'm just saying.
His name, I read this today, his name, apparently his family was, they're big into Norse mythology and big into Viking tradition of sailing, because his name actually means sea, S-E-A, sea Thor.
Well, I would believe it. Marvel, I'm just saying, you have a modern-day Viking here. I think we can throw him into the Thor movie somewhere. There's got to be a part for him. It's kind of an insult if you don't put him in there. So
just anywhere.
Yeah, pretty, yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
irony is probably get cast as an ice giant.
Well, my hat's off to this guy. I mean, I'm Scandinavian and Irish on my father's side of the family. My great-grandparents came from Denmark back in the 20s. So I've been to these competitions before where you lift stuff. And, yeah, we don't want to mess with you. If I see you in a dark alley, I'm just going to give you everything, including my clothes.
Well, I already saw what he did to the Red Viper. I'm just going to run like hell.
Also, a little bit of comic book news, which led to a really, really funny article by IGN, and I want to thank those guys for putting this out there. Superman got a new power this week in the comic books in the New 52. And, of course, again, led to a list of the 15 wackiest superpowers that Superman ever had, which I didn't even remember half of these, and just had a very nice chuckle. And I'll be honest with you, I don't completely understand what the new superpower is. He's, like, so strong he can become the sun or something. They were trying to explain it in an article, and I just didn't really get it. Did you understand it?
Didn't even bother to read it. You know my feelings on Superman for the most part.
I know, but anyway, apparently he's more powerful than, well, not being able to be killed or age. So he has a new superpower, which I don't think is that big of a deal, but it is kind of fun to go back and look at some of the wackier superpowers. Like he had super math skills for a while in the comic books, super weaving skills.
A beautiful mind.
I'm not
Superman
kidding.
Edition.
Right. super dancing skills. That was obviously in the 60s. And of course, Superman 2 introduced us to super kissing skills. He can basically kiss you and make you lose your memory.
So
because he's
so
Superman.
Super dancing. So in the 60s, he was super groovy, huh?
I guess. Apparently Superfly had nothing on Superman.
I did, while you were talking about casting the Mountain, by the way, I did come up with a great a great idea for that. It just popped into my head. Since they're, you know, trying to redo the Highlander, he would be perfect for the Kurgan.
Ooh. Yes. Yes.
That would be awesome. So anyway, moving on.
Random
thought just popped in there. Had to get it out.
Right. This is our version of coffee talk. Talks among yourselves.
Yeah.
The mount would be good as the Kurgan. Yeah, I know. I can't do Linda Richman as good as Mike Myers, but that's okay. So, of course, Arrow came back this week. He, you know, came back to save his city, and that was a good
thing. I
haven't
seen it yet. I was at work, so don't tell me about it yet.
I'm not saying anything.
Although I have seen The Flash. The Flash last night was good.
Yeah, well, you know, it's turning out to be really good. Begin with. There was one more news item. Oh, yeah. So we've talked a little bit about the Crow remake that they're supposedly doing, and now they're going through even more casting changes. Apparently Luke Evans, who was cast as the Crow after apparently Bradley Cooper wouldn't do it, has dropped out. So we're back to square one yet again. We don't know who's going to be the Crow or what's, you know, going on with that. So
that
also,
kind of makes sense with Evan, though, because he's, you know, I mean, first of all, he just did that Dracula movie. So what is he going to do, play the same character over again? And
right.
He's getting a little bit bigger than a niche action movie actor, because he was the bad guy in Fast and the Furious. He was in the Hobbit movies. So I can understand why he dropped that.
Well, I can. But at the same time, it gets back into, you know, trying to reboot the Crow. I'm not saying it isn't time. I'm not saying you couldn't come up with, you know, a fresh concept. But, you know, maybe this is a sign that you should just leave it alone. I mean, I still think the Brandon Lee version holds up very well. Still a great soundtrack. You know, why not just put this away for another 10 years and you might have another actor come along that will actually be good for it?
Yeah.
You know, Just an opinion. And in case you wanted a full title on Superman's new power, it's the solar flare power. And again, we do not know what that means.
It kind of sounds a little bit like Care Bear Stare to me, but yeah.
See, and I bet our audience didn't think we could work a Care Bears joke in there. But yes, we can. One more quick little news item, just because we love to make fun of reboots that should never happen. The Point Break reboot movie got delayed.
May it be delayed to infinity.
Yeah. Again, another movie that stands the test of time. A great soundtrack. And I think you're basically just insulting Patrick Swayze by trying to do this, you know, reboot. So anyway, that's the big news that's gone on this past week in regards to movies and TV. And I'm going to turn it over to Brendan to do some gaming news. And then we're going to get to this week's Sign of the Apocalypse, because it is actually pretty funny.
All right, so let's see what we've got coming out here. In 2 weeks, we've got The Order 1886, which is a PlayStation 4 exclusive. Grand Theft Auto 5 drops for the PC on March 24th. Evolve, which is a very interesting game. It's an online game where you can choose to be one of four adventurers, or you can choose to be the monster trying to kill the adventurers. That drops on February 10th for multiple systems. Dragon Ball Xenoverse drops on the 24th of February. A lot of people are waiting on that. A good friend of mine, Ryan, worked on Final Fantasy Type Zero HD. The Final Fantasy Type Zero is a different type of Final Fantasy game. It's not your standard turn-based RPG. It's a live-action RPG. It was never released in the United States. It's a Japanese-only game. They have done an HD reboot, which a friend of mine worked on, and he married a Japanese girl, moved over to Japan, got a job at a video game company, and his company was chosen to actually make this HD remake for Square Enix. So that game is coming to the United States for the first time. It releases on St. Patrick's Day. And it'll probably be the only live-action Final Fantasy game you will ever play. So if you want to play something a little bit different in the Final Fantasy genre, universe, whatever you want to call it, make sure you check that one out. Neverwinter, the MMO from, I think, Obsidian. I might be wrong there, but it's the D&D MMO set in D&D 4th edition and in and around the town of Neverwinter. It's been very successful on the PC as a free-to-play MMO. It is now coming to the Xbox One. It is listed as March. We don't have a definitive date. Bloodborne from Software, who gave us Dark Souls, that drops on March 24th. That is a PlayStation exclusive. Project Cars comes out March 17th, and Battlefield Hardline, which is a new game in the Battlefield series, also comes out St. Patrick's Day, and that one is a little bit different because instead of being military-focused, it's cops and robbers. There is a storyline where you play a cop, but there's also what really everybody's waiting for is the online mode where you can either choose to be a cop or choose to be a robber, and it's just one big game of cops and robbers like when we were kids. So that looks really, really interesting. Coming up in April, we've got Mortal Kombat X, which if you want to see the funniest damn segment on gaming I have ever seen in my life, I damn near peed myself. Take yourself to YouTube, look up Conan O'Brien, Clueless Gamer. He does a segment where he basically is a clueless gamer. Well, this segment was before the Super Bowl, and it was playing Mortal Kombat X with Rob Gronkowski of the Patriots and Marshawn Lynch of the Seattle Seahawks, and it is fucking hysterical. First off, the reaction to Cassie Cage doing her father Johnny Cage's split punch to a female as they zoom in on the Falcon punch. That was priceless. And then there is one specific fatality that is so gross that Marshawn Lynch gets up and walks out. So he's like, man, I ain't trying to see that. So you've got to do yourself a favor and Google that. Mortal Kombat X looks amazing. Can't wait to get my hands on that. So that's gaming news for tonight.
Yeah, we'll have a little bit more about that game as we get closer to it. We've planned a couple of promotions with it since we are a huge Mortal Kombat fans. And we will definitely let you know. Yes.
I did forget, for you Nintendo 3DS fans out there, and I know there are tons out of you, they've sold 45 million units, the new 3DS with mouse support and Amiibo support, so if you've got Amiibos for your Wii U for Smash Brothers, you can now use them on your 3DS. That new system drops next week. It does come bundled with, you can get it in black or red, or you can get a gold bundle with you would have been able to get a gold bundle with Majora's Mask or a silver bundle with Monster Hunter 4, but they are all sold out. So you're stuck with either a black bundle or red bundle or paying through your ass on eBay. Sorry.
Yay. I tried to sound a little bit excited about that, but no.
The new 3DS actually looks pretty cool because on some of those games, first of all, there's a slider on it. So if you're like me and you have astigmatism and 3D just makes you want to puke, there's a slider on it. You can turn 3D off. And the other thing is they've got enhanced 3D now. So if you turn the screen, if you're not looking directly on it at the proper angle, you still get the 3D depth for those people who like it. And then, of course, you only had one stick on the old 3D, but now with the stick and the old mouse button like you used to have on the old laptops, you have a lot more control, and it's easier to control the camera on some games, so it makes things a lot easier. And then, of course, the Amiibo support for people who are playing Smash Brothers and want to use their Amiibos from their Wii U. It's all really good upgrades. It's not actually just, hey, we're going to produce another 3DS because we want to make more money. It's because they listen to a lot of the feedback from their fans and actually put together a good product. So,
yeah. Exciting. Yeah. Like I said, we'll let you know more about some of the stuff we've got coming up with Mortal Kombat this year. So, and Evolve looks very interesting to me. I haven't upgraded to the PS4 yet. I'm not that hardcore of a gamer, but it kind of disappoints me that that's only going to be PS4, but it does look very interesting. So I can't wait to see what some of our bloggers review about it. All right, so before we get to this week's Sign of the Apocalypse, while we are not a sports show, we do at least have to talk about this because it does have a nerd theme. We do you know, we do talk about sports a little bit, especially when we make jokes about our favorite sports teams in relation to video games and stuff. But as so, I'm sure our audience knows that, you know, Brendan is from the Boston area and a Patriots fan, and the Patriots won the Super Bowl and everything. But probably the best thing about the Super Bowl was the Twitter bet between, you know, Chris Pratt and Chris Evans. And Pratt was a Seahawks fan and Evans was going for the Patriots, and whoever lost had to show up in the winning city's town and go to a hospital dressed up as their Marvel character. And of course, Pratt had to do that dressed up as Star-Lord. But what actually turned out between just the, you know, the fun between all the Twitter rants and taunts between each other was they ended up both showing up in Boston together in costume.
Yeah, they went to a children's hospital, yeah.
Yeah, which made it even better. But the photo bombs of them at the Super Bowl and the stuff back and forth, maybe it was for publicity, but I do generally believe that these guys are, you know, love what they do, love being superheroes, and just really had a lot of fun doing it. And if you're going to throw that into a mix with sports, you couldn't have done something any better. So, you know, from that nerd show, my hat's off to both of you for what you did. It definitely made things a lot more entertaining. And kudos to you for showing up at Children's Hospital dressed as your Marvel characters together, despite who won or lost. But to me, that was probably the best part about the Super Bowl than anything else besides who won or lost. So got to give props to both of those guys. So, all right, this week's Sign of the Apocalypse. And this does have to do with the Marvel Universe, too. So I realize that, you know, if you're a hardcore fan, hold up 1 second. Chloe, are you with us?
I am still with you.
Okay.
Hey.
We're going to do this week's Sign of the Apocalypse, and then we're going to jump right into our topic. So, but anyway, this week's
Sign
of the Apocalypse. Yeah, speaking about Marvel, I understand if you're a fan and you really like a villain and, you know, and stuff, and this is why cosplay was invented. But this goes out to stupidity, to Henry Damon, who at 37, who lives in Caracas, Venezuela, who loved the Red Skull so much that he decided to have plastic surgery to look like the Red Skull, including... Yeah. So, you know how really dumb pretty women get a nose job to, like, you know, improve upon their nose?
Yeah.
He took his nose off to look like the Red Skull. And he got, like, forehead implants. Yeah. So
I hope that's something he'll want to do for the rest of his life, I guess. He'll also have to have a nose donor.
I have a couple observations about this. Number one, he really doesn't even look like the Red Skull. It's a terrible job. So you already failed there. Number two, I'd like to point out that you just made yourself look like a character who was a senior member of the Third Reich. You might as well have had surgery, plastic surgery, to make yourself look like Hitler. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a fictional character of the Third Reich, but still, sheesh.
But it's freaking ridiculous. And beyond that, sir, I really hope, really, really hope that you're impotent, because you're never getting laid again anyway.
Right. I'm waiting for the other part of this article where his, because this is the best part. He is married with children. And I'm hearing a, yeah. Good job as a parent. You've just scarred your children for life. Yes, it's cool if a dad dresses up as a Jedi Knight or even Darth Vader and has a lightsaber duel with you. But to make it permanent, I mean, you basically, it's like being a crippled person and saying, you know what, I don't want to get these fancy gadgets that'll make my life easier. If I'm going to be a cripple on a respirator, let's be Darth Vader permanently. No.
You know, if his son shoots him with a 45, his defense can be, I was just playing Captain America.
Yeah.
Yeah, here in America.
Yeah, if the serum is dead, be Captain America. Jeez.
I mean,
well,
honestly, if I was on the jury, I'd vote to acquit.
This is one area where I do get to applaud the American system. In America, we would immediately take your child away from you for being stupid. Apparently,
yeah.
In Venezuela, they don't really care.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this week's Sound of the Apocalypse. If Darwinism proves to be right, you shouldn't be around too much longer because the stupid will be punished. So, and I want to meet the doctor who agreed to this. I mean, honestly, come on. Isn't that a form of malpractice? It's got to be. Oh, wait.
But then,
this is Venezuela.
Again, what if
they
he actually
care?
Wants to be a supervillain? Like, maybe he has actual plans of, forming a supervillain.
Yeah. If there's anybody that's going to be on a watch list, this guy belongs on one now.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. Interesting. Okay, so for all of our fans out there that looked at our title, why movies are turned into TV shows and TV shows turned into movies, we decided to take a in-depth look at the latest craze of adapting movies into TV shows. And I think sometimes it can work, sometimes it can't. I will say this, I think that's a better idea than taking beloved movies and turning them into musicals. I think Lion King, the movie, was okay, and it didn't need to be a musical, but, you know, hey, what do I know? I don't do Broadway. But, you know, it seems like Hollywood yet again doesn't really have any great ideas. So, you know what? That movie made some money. We can kind of reboot it into a TV show and see if this is going to work. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I might agree, and sometimes I just kind of like, you know, unless the TV show is carrying on the story beyond the main character, you know, of it. Like, you know, the librarian. Right. You know, if you're doing something that's kind of like filler and it is tying into the whole cinematic universe, that's a good thing. You know, whether you like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or not, how they tie into everything is pretty cool. But, you know, the Librarian movies with Noah Wiley, I mean, those, while they're TV movies, they're movies, okay? Having a show about the librarians and having new characters that kind of take the story into a different direction besides, you know, Noah Wiley being the sole character, that makes sense. And I get that. But I got to tell you, I mean, I'm kind of wincing a little bit when I hear, like, Minority Report is going to be made into a TV show.
I haven't heard that one yet. I thought I've researched them.
Yeah, that, you know, but... You know, Hannibal is actually one of the better shows on NBC. Was cast very well. I don't think anybody's ever going to truly be as sinister as, you know, Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter. But Mads Mikkelsen has done an incredible job.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think the question is, once it's already a story, whether it's movie or TV, can you make it better in any way than, you know, the previous, however it was created? And we're going to start with 12 Monkeys, since that's actually the new show that just came out. We're about 3 episodes in, and you're covering it. So, Chloe, what do you think of 12 Monkeys so far as a TV series?
Not too shabby at all so far. Like, I'm actually pretty pleased with it. It's totally gone into, like, a new direction from the movie. It's definitely not rehashing the same story, for sure. But, of course, like, as I was mentioning in my review of the pilot of it, like, could you really do a show in the style of Terry Gilliam? I hope not, but... And nothing against Terry Gilliam. Actually, I love him as a director, but he's a movie director, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't need a weekly acid trip to try to understand his storyline.
That's more
one
2 hour
movie every once in a while is good.
Yeah. But yeah, because like you know, it's still told out of, I won't say out of sequence, but like they definitely throw you in there, and yeah, they just kind of like let you just kind of catch up a little bit here and there. Sort of the format I've noticed in a few years in a lot of other dramas, they just kind of throw you in there and then see how you feel after that. But yeah, I'm actually pretty pleased with it so far.
I haven't hated it. I mean, I'm watching it. Of course, my biggest complaint will be if, and I know Sci-Fi doesn't do this, it's only major TV networks that do this, but trying to stretch it out for 22 episodes, I think you can really do that.
Adding worthless filler that, like...
Right, I think 13 good episodes...
It could be avoided if characters were smarter.
Right, 13 good episodes will be fine. I've been, you know, kind of going back and you know, looking at comparing the cast. First of all, one of the things that I love about the movie is, again, I think it's a very underrated performance with Brad Pitt. I don't think that people gave him enough credit for how good he... Do what? Was he nominated?
He got nominated. I'm pretty sure he was at least nominated. I don't think he won, but I'm pretty sure he might have been nominated for that. It's been a while.
Well, but, you know, he was... kind of young and still the pretty boy and all of that. So
they're not going to look at him.
He's actually done a lot of great movies. And Brendan and I always talk about The Devil's Own because he's one of the few actors that had that, you know, American actors that with an Irish accent that was actually spot on, you know. You know, you have him, and I still like his character a lot better in the movie compared to what they're doing with the girl and in the series. I don't know how I feel if Aaron Stanford as playing Cole is any better than Bruce Willis.
Are you not a fan of Bruce Willis, or are you just kind of neutral?
I'm indifferent with Bruce Willis.
Okay, indifferent.
You know what?
Yeah.
Bruce Willis, to me, is there's only certain movies that he's really good in, and the rest I don't care about. Pretty much Die Hard. Went through any of the Die Hard movies except the latest one, which was crap.
Nobody liked that.
No. You know, I don't give a crap if he was on Moonlighting, some TV series I never watched during the 80s and whatever. You know, the whole Nine Yards is a really funny movie. But, and Armageddon, he was actually pretty cool in that. But I don't really see him doing, like, science fiction, time travel type of movies. So but I am liking the direction that they're going with 12 Monkeys. And, you know, I think it's cast pretty good. You know, haven't hated it. So, you know, it begs the question, can you make something better by taking one way of telling a story and doing something different? And... I don't know if I can answer the question about the 12 Monkeys right now because we're only 3 episodes in.
Yeah, too early.
Right, but the one thing that I don't like compared to the movie, I will say this, it's annoying me, is with the movie they couldn't control the time travel of where he ended up. I mean, it was just by accident, like, you know, he could end up completely naked in a trench in World War One.
World War One, yeah.
Right, but they seem to have mastered. We can get the exact time and day. Like, what is this, Back to the Future? Yeah, I'm sorry. I haven't heard anything mentioned about the flux capacitor in their time travel, so I don't think it's going to be entirely accurate. That's annoying me.
Hey, this is the year 2015. We should have a flying DeLorean. Thank you.
But we do have a hoverboard.
Yeah.
Doesn't work real well, but we're getting there. So, you know, here's a question that I want to ask. If we're going to take movies and we're going to turn them into TV series, what, before we actually talk about TV series turned into movies, what are some stories that you think would actually be good into a TV series, you know, as a movie that you can explore?
Specifics?
Yeah,
okay,
I mean,
or...
Like,
gosh,
if you...
everything I know, or everything I love has already been kind of like turned into stuff already. It's just so hard. Like,
I can...
I'm going to say things that are like could be told in a serial sort of way, like, or, you know, episodic, like, I don't know. It's definitely not movie, like disaster movies like Titanic or something like that should ever be made into a show. Like, I like how I like things like Stargate. Like, you know, that was a movie and it became a show because like that you could do a lot with a, you know, that
right.
story. Like, oh, here's this adventure, here's that adventure, instead of just like, oh, well, here's a big event that changed the course of our character's life here.
Right.
I can tell
you
what needs to go back to TV.
What?
I can tell you what needs to go back to TV.
What?
What?
Star Trek.
Yeah. That definitely needs to go back. I mean, I'm sure like all of you Trekkies out there would definitely agree with that. That's where it started, and yeah.
Well, the heart of Star Trek belongs in TV. You need to tell a story over multiple episodes and
yeah.
stuff. But you know, it's funny you mentioned Stargate. That one worked so well, especially for sci-fi, because of, you know, you also have the spin-off series, and I love the fact that you pretty much had the cast of Farscape. Well, we finally ended our show. We're going to go do a spin-off of Stargate, and they did that for like another 5, 6, 7 years, and it worked really well. But I think that's, while the movie is great, I agree. I think that one's probably a little bit better in TV because you can do, you know, overall stories a lot more and you really get to know these characters. And
yeah.
Here's the other thing, too. I like Kurt Russell. I do. I really liked Richard Dean Anderson a lot more as Colonel O'Neill. It's probably
yeah.
the 80s kid in me that's like, damn it, MacGyver is good at everything. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, well, I'll give you one, even though it may not be a great example because it originally started as a TV show before you had a movie, but The Fugitive.
Was that a TV show?
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that. Yeah,
that was a TV show in the 60s, I believe.
Yeah,
oh,
ran
wow.
for 4 years.
Very ignorant on that, then.
Yeah, and the movie's great. It's a fantastic yeah. movie, one of the better ones with Tommy Lee Jones and Harrison Ford. But I think that's one that you can definitely do a lot more over, you know, TV or you know, like a miniseries or something. You know, do it over like 10 episodes. I know they tried to reboot it like 15 years ago, and it just didn't work. I think it was canceled after like 4 or 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was probably too close to the movie having been out that, you know, you just... the cast on TV wasn't going to be good enough, you know, to compare to Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones. But that movie's, what, 22 years old, 23, 22 years old now. I think you can pull off something like that, and you can almost treat it where, you know, he is a doctor, and as he's researching, he continually tries to help patients and be a doctor and stuff like that. So, you know, each episode... kind of like your, you know, Kane and Kung Fu, where you're always helping people and stuff like that, but you're, you know, but you have this kind of other ulterior motive and stuff. I'd like to see that kind of come back. I mean, if you're going to reboot something.
The Fugitive?
Yeah.
Oh, Kung Fu.
Well, I don't know. If you're going to reboot Kung Fu as a TV show, can we actually have an Asian actor this time? I'm just saying. I think we've gotten over the...
No.
I think Hollywood could have gotten over its stereotypes.
I think we found a few Asian actors out there now. I think those exist, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, can you imagine how great Kung Fu would have been if you really did have Bruce Lee in that TV show? Nothing against David Carradine, but you don't even look Asian, dude. You look...
No.
You literally look like a moonshiner from Kentucky. Here's another one I'll give an example of, and they are actually doing it, but I'm excited. Westworld, the original Yul Brynner movie, where
mm-hmm.
they're robots in the Old West, but now they're actually doing like a miniseries on
show. Wow.
Well, they're
yeah.
doing a miniseries on HBO.
Oh, a miniseries, cool. That might be even better.
Yeah. Yeah, see? I mean, some stories... See, that's the thing, too. Why do we need 22 episodes to stretch? I mean, why is it that we don't have great miniseries, you know,
exactly.
each episode being two hours long and you... Yeah.
Yeah, like the last time we did it was It.
Yeah.
Or not It, the Stand was the last time I remember a decent miniseries.
Actually, yeah.
Fargo's technically counting as a miniseries, at least.
That's true, yeah.
Technically.
And so is Trisha... Trisha Helfer's new one on Sci-Fi, Ascension.
Right.
That was really good,
and
too.
I thought that worked fairly well. I don't know what the, I don't know why people go back. I mean, it seemed like Sci-Fi for a long time was, you know, always had like a great little miniseries every other year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had, what was it, Ten Men? With Zooey Deschanel and... Neil Donahue or something. I care. I don't forget his last name. I always remember him from Star Trek First Contact and Band of Brothers. The Lost Room, very underrated one, which is about 10 years old now. So let's have these great big episodes. You know, and technically, you can look at Band of Brothers into the Pacific as a miniseries. You know, it doesn't. While you do have 10 episodes, you don't have anything that goes beyond that. And I think that you can, you know, especially like with war and stuff. I mean, you can tell these great big epics over multiple episodes. I mean, for God's sake, Game of Thrones has to be one book, or even half a book has to be told over 10 episodes on HBO now.
Yeah.
And I'll throw one more example in.
Oh, those kids are getting so old.
I know.
Sorry.
I'll throw one more example in that I think actually worked fairly well. and it, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles,
yeah.
Turned out,
that's one I actually would have had a lot of doubt about, too. Like, you know, Terminator, they're epic, awesome movies. You want it to be a movie experience,
right.
You know, not a show experience. But yeah, it works.
Well, you know, Brian Austin didn't seem so lame. He actually acted like a tough guy. It did kind of fit within the story, even though it screwed up the timeline, like Terminator always does. You know, you had Summer Glau as a Terminator, and she was awesome. You know, very good cast. So it's just...
Yeah, that got canceled before its time. Fox.
Yeah.
It's Fox.
Well, you know, you end it
such a
where
love-hate
he basically...
relationship with that network.
Yeah, well, you end it basically where he travels back into the future to see what happened. You're like, so this is it? Did we just screw up the timeline again and now he's going to become a hero? Well, what's going on here?
they created the new timeline for the new movie that's coming out, which I'm... kind of actually excited about.
We will actually. I think we're going to have to do a promo night for Terminator, even though the movie may or may not be very good, because it seems...
I don't know. I thought it looked pretty good.
Well, it looks pretty good. I'm not saying it doesn't look good. I like the cast. However, you know, the last two movies... We really haven't had a very good Terminator movie since Terminator 2.
Yeah.
If nothing else, it should be rather cathartic for Maria Shriver as she'll get to see her husband shoot himself.
Nice. But, I mean, is there, like, any other movie that you think would actually be would make a great TV series if you did it, even just, you know, 10 to 13 episodes?
You know what's weird? Like, this is so dorky little kid of me to probably say this, but, like take the Harry Potter universe and make a show around, like, a couple of kids in that aren't Harry Potter, you know? Like, I know this is such a little dorky kid thing for people to want, but I actually would like to, like, just to see a slice of life kind of, like, sort of story around Hogwarts. It'd be kind of fun.
I think you could do some prequels. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I think you can do some prequels that lead into the overall story, but
yeah,
you know,
but
that's
like, it
such
doesn't
a
have
vast...
to be about about Harry Potter. It could be about other kid wizards, you know.
I think that there is some movies and books out, movies that are based off of books that, if you applied them to the HBO Game of Thrones formats, would greatly benefit from going to TV show, and that's Tom Clancy novels, and the Jack Ryan stories, because basically Game of Thrones is essentially George R. Martin's story is basically Tom Clancy's writing style put towards the fantasy genre. Because you have a bunch of different storylines that all intertwine eventually. And that's really what Clancy does. Clancy has all these different strings that finally come together to form one cohesive story if you stay with it long enough. And the movies have just done a terrible – the first three were good. The fourth one with Ben Affleck was awful, and I didn't even bother seeing the one with Chris Pine, even though I can watch it for free on Netflix. So – I haven't felt the need to waste 2 hours of my life beating my head into my desk. So I really think if you take Clancy's books and have a similar development team behind them, and if not HBO or Stars or Showtime, then put it on like FX, because, you know, they've done such a good job over the years with S.H.I.E.L.D. and Sons of Anarchy and Justified and, and Rescue Me. You know, FX has just done a great job with really adult television. I think the Jack Ryan universe would be fantastic in that format.
Right.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I won't argue there.
I agree. I mean, just because of how long Tom Clancy stuff is, if you really wanted to do the Summer of All Fears book, to me, that you can definitely do that as a 10-episode miniseries, if not more episodes. I mean, just because there's so much, you know, that goes into it.
And basically and everything after that just picks up right after another. You know, I mean, Executive Orders picks up immediately after the end of Summer of All Fears that's Debt of Honor. I'm sorry. But you go from Son of All Fears to Debt of Honor, and then literally at the end of Debt of Honor, Jack's sitting out, looking out a window, looking at the Capitol building burn, and the very first sentence of Executive Orders is Jack turns around from the window. So.
Yeah. and the thing is, you can update it for more modern, you know, technology, but at the same time, I think that
you could do what the Americans do and leave it period piece, leave it in the Cold War.
Exactly. You can do that, and then if you do it long enough, then you can get into Jack Ryan Jr. and modern day espionage and the two generations and how
that
it works.
That actually kind of like makes me think do you think James Bond would be a good series perhaps for television, or should we leave him as movies?
No, that should stay as a movie because James Bond, James Bond is, I love James Bond, so don't take this the wrong way. I'm a huge Bond fan, but it's the cartoonish side of spy novels. It's cartoony action. It's over the top. Where Tom Clancy, his stuff is very grounded in reality. There are a lot of people out there who suspect and have thought that, you know, Clancy had sources that he really shouldn't have had because a lot of his stuff was way too close to the mark. And speaking from the point of view of somebody who's read all of his books and spent 7 years in the Naval Intelligence Services, he really was really close to the mark on a lot of things. A non-classified case in point I can bring up for you is the fact that his book Debt of Honor predicted the use of an airplane as a terrorist implement to destroy a building 6 years before 9/11. Somebody flies a book. This is very grounded in reality. So, and it's, like I said, it's very in-depth plots with lots of characters and lots of plot lines. So I think that's why, like Game of Thrones, it lends itself to that 10-episode style for each book. Or 20 in the case of certain books. But James Bond is very much about, you know, doing one very big, just crazy story at a time. Now, something similar that has worked pretty well is The Transporter with Chris Vance taking over the Jason Statham role, and they turn that into a serialized show in France, and it's being shown here on TNT. And that actually has done pretty well, just because with The Transporter, everything starts about him just transporting a package. So it's not like, you know, mission from the Queen, go save the world. You know, I just think that the scope of Bond's missions are so grandiose that you can't do them in a serialized nature. It kind of requires one big bombastic performance.
Well, and here's the other thing too. I think you can get great writers to continue writing Bond books, and I think you can develop movies based off of those books. You know, that's one of the great things about James Bond is, you know, Cubby Broccoli always said, if you're having a problem, you always go back to the books. And some of the movies were based on short stories.
A lot of them.
From that. Yeah, so, I mean, if you're going to develop that, I think I agree with Brendan. Keep it in movies, but keep writing books. I like the idea that you can do that. They've actually done that with, you know, Jason Bourne as well.
Yeah.
Now, that one I do
I don't think that would make a good series, but I don't know.
Well, I do for the simple fact is if you actually do it based off the book and keep it as a period piece, not some updated version like they did with the Matt Damon movies. Nothing against them as spy movies, but the Jason Bourne story is a Cold War espionage story. He's basically not even a real assassin. He's a plant to draw out another assassin. Okay? Mm. And, yeah. I mean, if you like espionage, go back and to all the fans. Actually, go back and read the Ludlum trilogy. It's incredible. But you can actually... That one, I think, would actually probably be for a period piece. So, I'm going to flip the tables here since we've got about 8 minutes left. Out of TV shows that have been developed into movies, and we're going to start with you, Chloe, do you think there's actually been any good movies based off of TV shows?
I'm drawing a blank. I know I there are a lot, and I just have to think.
And if you say the Dukes of Hazzard movie, you're just wrong.
No.
I've got one.
Yeah, you say yours.
I know what I already know what Brendan's going
to
say.
I know what I'd like
mine,
it to
but
be
I'll let
into
Brendan
movies,
say it.
Yeah. Okay,
it,
go for
it's
it.
The A Team.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the A Team.
And honestly, it sucked that it hasn't gotten a sequel yet. But
didn't do so well, did it? The A Team.
Yeah, it did. It wasn't a bust, but it wasn't a major hit either. And it was partly because they didn't really advertise it that much, and partly because of the time of year it came out. It came out in like February.
Right.
It wasn't, you know, I got to check that, but it wasn't
that
really
actually,
given a summer blockbuster.
Wasn't that movie, I've only seen parts of it. I've been bad about that, but wasn't it kind of sort of making fun of itself, though, in a way?
It kind of threw a little, you know, they had quite a few jokes as throwback to the TV show. They really did. I mean, some of the campiness and all that. But
and that's actually, that'll lead me into my answers. But then, you finish.
Well, see, I agree. I mean, to me, that's probably the best one because, I mean, there were a lot of nods. It was campy. Bradley Cooper completely surprised me about how good he was as Face. The guy playing Murdoch was incredible.
Charlton Copley was dead on.
Yeah.
When he ever jumped on the helicopter rotor blade and you spun me right round.
I know. It just, there were so many things about that movie that. And Quentin Rampage, you know, he.
Actually surprised me.
Right. So Liam Neeson was going to be good.
Yeah, the thing that pissed me off about the movie, and this is just a real nitpick, but. Okay, you couldn't get the guy who originally played Hannibal to do a cameo because, unfortunately, George Peppard passed away. But they did get Dwight Schultz and Dirk Benedict to do cameos, and then they cut both of the cameos from the films. And he had all these throwbacks to the originals, and you cut both of the cameos from the theatrical release. I was pissed. But it did make $67 million more than its budget. Its budget was $110, and it made $177. So, you know, it did pretty good.
Well,
it just, I guess.
All right. I agree. To me, that's the best one. But I'm going to go as far as to say is, you know, the Dukes of Hazzard movie was not really that good. Good one time or whatever. Anyway. But I'm a huge Michael Mann fan, and I thought his version of Miami Vice was actually really good. It was not the TV show at all, because the TV show was kind of over the top. It was totally 80s and, you know, really fit into what the drug culture was in Miami at that time. Michael Mann's films are always darker, hence Heat, okay? But I thought it was actually good. I thought everybody did a great job in it, you know, for what it was as a film. But I know a lot of people were pissed off about that because, well, we were expecting, you know, I don't think you're going to get 80s.
unless
cops
it's a
wearing
film, which is, you know.
Right. I mean, it just, there's still
one
a big drug trade that comes
out
of Miami.
How did Don Johnson keep that jacket so white?
Yeah. Come on.
Like, he must have had like 30 of them and constantly been at the dry cleaners. Like, he must have been the Miami Beach version of George Steinbrenner, who always had that same frickin' outfit, the khaki pants, the white turtleneck, and the blue blazer.
All right. So that's going to lead me into actually my answer for this, and it's a terribly kind of dorky answer for that, too, again. But did any of you guys kind of like the Brady Bunch movie?
I didn't like the original Brady Bunch, so.
Exactly. I hated the original Brady Bunch. Like, it was always on. All my friends liked it. Yeah, no, I'm not from the 70s, guys, just so you know. We just watched a lot of retro stuff. But my parents explained to me that they didn't like it either because that show was really out of date, even for its time, in, like, the styles and, like, how they talked and acted. They're just so, like, you know, white bread, you know, boring kids. So, like, when the movie came out, I actually, like, appreciated it a lot, even as a kid when I saw it, that because, like, they became super out of, like, style, you know, compared to the 90s in which it actually took place.
It was campy. That's all I'll say about it. It was fun to watch it one time. Now, before we close the show out, because we're winding down, I do want to say this. There is one thing that Hollywood just needs to absolutely stop doing right now, okay? And in regards to basing a movie off a TV show, and that's Battlestar Galactica. Just fucking stop, okay? You rebooted that series so well, okay, that there is nothing you can do to top what you did with that TV series. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, instead of having a movie, why don't you just put the miniseries back in theaters and we'll all pay money to go see that on the big screen and sit there for 4 hours, even though it's free on Netflix. Because, again, there's nothing you can do that's going to make the movie version will never be the TV series. And I think that goes for a lot of things. I think there's like Magnum P.I. I would never want to see a Magnum P.I. movie, not even in the modern sense. That TV series worked for what it was at that time. And it still stands the test of time. So
I actually do watch it on Netflix every once in a while.
Yeah, I do too. Actually, I watched the last episode a couple months ago. So, all right, so we got about 90 seconds left, and we're going to close this puppy out. And no, that was not making fun of a guy that we know who is nicknamed Puppy, although it can be. But we will be back next week. So keep checking with our website, Facebook, for more shows and more gaming roundups. We'll keep debating this subject matter till probably the end of time, because we're nerds and that's what we do. But everybody, we want you to stay nerdy. Keep listening, because we've got some exciting things going on this year. And we'll be telling you more information about our documentary that we're shooting over the next year titled Jedis from Dallas, which we've got a big show about that coming up here in the next week or two. So stay tuned. I want to thank Chloe for being on the show with us again tonight.
What? Thank you, gentlemen.
look forward to having her again. And what character did you play at your job tonight? The fans want to know.
Oh, and I'm still in costume. My last people didn't get out soon enough. I'm Snow White right now. I'm in the wig, dress, everything.
Nice. All right, everybody.
Yeah.
I'll let the boys fantasize about Chloe on that one. Okay, we're out of here. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Stay nerdy. Play more games.
Indeed.